This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Welcome back, Jonah. I want us to start in chapter 2. We've already spoke a little bit about, well, I think we spoke quite a bit, about what the main thought is in the book of Yaakov. And it is the endurance. Mm-hmm. It is the not showing of partiality.
Yes.
And it's controlling them. It's getting your mind under control and putting action to your faith, as we saw in the last verse of chapter 1, of what pure and undefiled religion really was, and their action. It's not spending hours and hours in the Word.
Yes.
It's the action that proves you have the Word within you.
Uh-huh.
So you were really interested in looking at verses 8 through, I guess, really through 12. So why don't you go ahead and read those, and we'll start.
Sure. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you now show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty.
We were talking about the difference between the concept that most people have about Jehovah's instructions, the Torah, and what the truth really is. That most people have the concept that it's a strict, rigid group of actions that have to take place, or you're not acceptable to the Father. Mm-hmm. And I thought you had a really good concept I'd like you to share again. The fact that law really is liberty.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about in the previous session about you and with children, how you give them that structure and they do better. It's the same thing with God and us, is that that the Torah brings that freedom. It brings this almost joy about keeping your faith, because this Torah isn't just instructions. It's about love. Because as we already looked about in the beginning with the crown of life and loving him is by doing the commandments, by keeping those commandments. And so when you are practicing the law, when you are keeping Torah, you are showing God that you love him. And in any relationship, when you show someone you love mm-hmm. them, you are showing that love right back. And so it really brings about this joy and this pleasure of keeping Torah. Because if there's one thing, like we talked about in Hosea in the past, about having a heart knowledge and a head knowledge. Like you said, it's not just about reading hours and hours. It's about having a heart knowledge and doing Torah, not just knowing Torah. And that's what I think about when we have Torah. It's about showing love to God.
It's a relationship.
Yeah.
And as most of us who've studied realize that it's actually a wedding. It's a
yes,
marriage relationship.
Definitely.
And you can tell your spouse, your significant other, how much you love them, but if your actions mm-hmm. don't validate them, it's worthless.
Yes.
Absolutely worthless. So we have the instruction manual. If my husband gave me a list of things that shows him that I love him, many people have done the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did not do them, I could say everything to him, and it would not show him as much love as if I didn't do them. My love language is time and affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say his love language was gifts. He could give me all the gifts in the world,
yeah.
and it really doesn't matter to me because I could care less. Now, it sounds crass, but really,
yeah.
you know. But all it would take would be one hug and say, "Honey, you really did that well." Mm-hmm. And that would be a huge deposit
yes.
in my love bank. Well, we have the same thing with a father.
Mm-hmm. And I think about how much more is it to receive that list and then to disregard it.
Oh, that's a big affront, isn't it?
I mean, because as the believers, as people who have the Bible, who in America we are lucky enough to have this book, yet we've been given how to love Him, yet we disregard it. And the majority of it, we say the Old Testament, we don't need to do anything in that. And we how much more disrespectful can you get? How much more can you show them that, no, I'm not really interested in doing it. I'm not really not interested in showing you that I love you.
You saved me, and that's all I need.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and you know, that's a really good point that you made. We have His instructions in the Tanakh, mm-hmm. or the Old Testament. That's where He first said, this is my people, and I love my people, and my people love me. So I'm going to give my people what makes me feel like I'm very loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm committed.
Yeah.
And once we have said that that's no longer applicable for today, we've said, like you said, we really don't care what you think, God.
Yeah.
We're going to love you the way we want to love you.
Mm-hmm.
And such a open-faced rebuttal or refusal to love God the way He wants to be loved.
Yes.
And the book of Yaakov and the book of James, he's telling his readers, this is how you show God mm-hmm. that you love Him.
Yeah.
And by showing God that you love Him, you're showing others what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're showing His love to them as well.
Yeah.
So as the book, the verses that you just read, where it's talked about what it is to break portion of the law and to be a transgressor of the law, we have the law of freedom. We don't have to worry about how do we do this. He talks to us individually.
Mm-hmm.
Of how we, and it, praise God, we're not expected to keep the laws for our salvation.
Yes, because if we did, we fall short of the glory every day.
Every day. And if not our actions, then our thought life.
Yes,
you know,
those lusts.
Well, and our thought life is not very easy to control. Those thoughts pop in there in a minute, don't they?
Yes.
Totally unguarded. And he goes on then to say that we need to put these actions into works. In verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Now, many people have said that this is complete contradiction to what Rabbi Shaul or what Paul has said, where he says that actions cannot save you, works cannot save you. Do you see a real contention here?
I mean, you can if you take it at face value and you really don't understand the context, yes.
Context rules.
Yes, and that's, I think, a big problem with today's beliefs when reading these epistles. In this specific instance, when you're reading about this faith and this action of faith, it isn't about salvation. It's about showing God that you love Him, just like we talked about. It's about showing, building that relationship, having faith, because as he already addressed, that faith is by doing. And he talks about, I mean, look at Hebrews 11. You have all these lists of people's actions that show their faith, that Abraham, as he was mm-hmm. crossed over, that was counted to him as righteousness. That was his faith, was his action. And Rahab, that her action was her faith. And this is the same kind of thing that's being talked about here, is it's not a faith in a salvation matter, but it's faith in the sense that it's an action of showing God that you are committed to Him and that you love Him.
Absolutely. And even Rabbi Shaul, in the book of Romans, in chapter 7, starting with verse 6, but now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we are bound, so that we serve the witness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the heart. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. He says, no, the law is not sin. The law is not burdensome. In another verse, another chapter in Romans, he also tells them that faith produces works through love.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not in contention at all.
Yeah.
They just have a different audience that they're speaking to. Context rules.
Yes.
Very, very important. And the thing that really strikes me in this is that the judgment, the next verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So we need to remember, that those who judge those who, especially among believers,
yes,
who judge mercilessly, mercilessly, will in fact be judged in the same manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this goes back to the sin of partiality.
Absolutely.
I mean, we judge the good-looking man, the rich man, better than the poor man, when in reality, God tells us that that's wrong. That's partiality, that they're the same, that they are both my people. They are both my children. They are both your brothers.
Absolutely. And as we go through this, we'll see more examples mm-hmm. of that. He hits very heavily on the fact that we are accountable and responsible for our own behavior and our own actions.
Yes.
Very much so. This is, again, what it uses is, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that?
I mean, I think about God and what he does. He works for us on a practical level. I mean, it talks about the natural and then the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if someone comes to you with a physical need that you can help right there, why not help it? Because it doesn't do much to pray in this instance. I think about when they're crossing the Red Sea, and they're being chased down by the Egyptians. And Moses is crying out to God saying, what's going on? We're enclosed by the sea on the other side, on one side, and the Egyptians are attacking us on the other. What are we going to do? And God says, don't pray, do. Just do it. And so Moses splits the Red Sea. Same thing here. God is saying, you know, why pray about it when you can do it?
Well, and actually the Red Sea didn't even start to divide until the foot
yes.
went into it. There had to be action. Yeshua did not perform a miracle that there was not some kind of action required.
Yes.
Of the other person. Pick up your mat and walk.
Uh-huh.
Go and do. Mm-hmm. There was some action required to it. And when I was reading this, I realized that he said, be blessed. This is actually shalom.
Yeah.
And shalom is nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you are being, the person that would do this is being so haughty, so showing so much arrogance
mm-hmm.
that he's telling them, may there be nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. But yet, he is without clothing and daily need of food. And you walk away.
Yeah.
And we do that today.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We were talking earlier also about the fact that that we sense that someone needs to be prayed for, or they have even asked for prayer. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of politely say, I'll pray for you, and walk on.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that person's real need is.
Yeah.
And if we don't allow God to use us, he will use someone else
yeah.
to meet that need.
I know I've experienced this myself where I have been in Shabbat and the Lord has given me a word for somebody or the congregation or something, and what has happened is I sit there and I wrestle with it and I say, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I have faith that you can give me the word, but I don't want to actually go up and give the word. And so what happens is I'll wrestle with it, and after so long, what will happen is I've had other people, they'll go up and they'll give the exact same word, word for word. And because I had the faith, but it wasn't enough. I didn't act on that faith.
You didn't have the obedience
exactly.
to follow through. We question ourselves.
Yes.
We really do. And I think that's one of the biggest things that is an issue, is we ruminate over things in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, God said it, I'll do it.
Yeah. Instead of putting on the mind of Messiah, instead of taking
right.
those thoughts captive.
And we see the same thing with Kepha, with mm-hmm. Peter.
Yes.
He had an amazing calling on his life.
Mm-hmm. I know, I think about his life, and it's very humbling to us, because we find ourselves in the same boat. I mean, you look at what he did. He was, I mean, there's points in his life where he's being called out to walk on water with Yeshua, and he starts walking on the water, but then he loses faith and falls. And then there's times when he's right there next to Yeshua, and he's with him, and he's working with him, then he denies him. And you brought up the point earlier about how he comes to the revelation that Yeshua is the Son of God, and then he starts speaking things that aren't of God in the very next verse, and Yeshua has to rebuke him. And we find ourselves in that same place a lot of times, where we are right on, and then all of a sudden we're off. And we're doing what we're supposed to, then we're not.
Yeah, this is so applicable mm-hmm. for today. I think of Peter, who was actually called to the Gentiles.
Yes.
He had an amazing revelation
mm-hmm.
of what he was to do. He did. He went. He fellowshipped with them. He actually prayed with them. They received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's the last time you heard about it.
Uh-huh.
He never went back.
Yes.
We also see that when Yaakov had to rebuke him because he was behaving in one way when one group of people were in town mm-hmm. and another way when they had left town.
Yes.
So I'm not going to eat with the Gentiles when the leaders from this particular congregation are here.
Yeah.
But as soon as they leave, then I will.
Yeah.
So we see that he missed such a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God that Shaul came along. But because look what he had done for the world.
Mm-hmm.
He'd opened up the family of God to the Gentile people.
Yes.
He really did. And as we look at this, and we see that this last thing is, in verse 14, is, can that faith save him? If you have faith, but you have no works, if there's no evidence of that faith in your life, then how firm and how true indeed is your faith? And this is what the rest of the book addresses in multiple ways. Verse 17 says it so clearly. Even so, that faith, we're talking about the faith where it says, you know, go and be warmed. If it has no works, is dead, being by itself. How do you think we see that so much in this world? Now, we can come off with really quick things, you know, well, the man on the corner, or like we've talked about, the prayer in church. But there's other ways that we see that there's needs.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I think studying the Bible, an easy one.
As
believers and as people, I mean, when you study, people who study the Bible, they are committed. They are willing to sit down and read and actually do that, which does require a higher level of commitment. However, so many of the times we sit down and we just read. And
mm-hmm.
we never actually, and we take notes and we study and we do all these things. We think, wow, what an amazing book. James is an amazing book. Wow, I learned so much. But then we never apply it.
Absolutely.
So we gain all this faith and we read these stories and we read these things that God does and we gain all this faith, but then we put no works to it. We put no application to it.
It doesn't become part of who we are.
Exactly.
And it's a, you know, when you take a job, you're given an orientation. And during that orientation, you're given a job description.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that job description is usually a list of your responsibilities
yes.
that come along with it. And if you take that job, that is the expectation mm-hmm. that you'll live up to. Well, when we accept Yeshua, we're called into his army. We have no option. We're an active soldier.
We're drafted.
We've been drafted into his army. And we can choose to be at whatever level we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We can be active duty, which means that, yes, I've read my tech data, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm putting that into practice. And I will continue to grow and move up the ranks as I learn more. Or we can be a reservist. And, well, yeah, I'll just kind of sit on the sidelines, I'll read, but I'm not going to be involved very much, you know. When a crisis comes, I'll be there, but until then, you know, I'll go about my daily life.
Yeah.
Or we can be retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I see so much of that in the church today, that as people have, their children are grown, they maybe are retired, and they kind of retire from everything.
Yeah.
So they say, yeah, no, I've done my chair. Mm-hmm. I've grown as much as I need to grow. I am a mature believer.
Yeah.
I'm fine right where I'm at. And then we have those that are missing in action.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And they have fire insurance. They may come a few times to church, but they're saved by grace, so they don't have to worry about changing their life.
Mm-hmm.
That his blood covers it all, which it does, praise God, but we have expectations
yeah.
in our own life. So we can choose how we want to live our life, how we want to portray Yeshua and his Father to the world.
Yeah, one thing I always think about, is I know in our congregation we have one young man that prophesies almost every week, goes up and gives a word every single week. And some people get upset because they say, well, he does it every single week. And I always tell them, you know, you could do it every week. You think maybe he does it every week because you don't. I mean, he does it every week because he puts himself in that posture to where he can do it every week. If you put yourself in that posture, you could do it every week as well. And we fall into that a lot of times where we look at the pastors or we look at the elders or the people that are in the church and we say, well, why are their lives so great? Why are their relationships with God so great? It's not because that they're a pastor. It's not because that they're an elder. It's because of the posture that they put themselves into. They've chosen to not be an MIA. They've chosen not to be retired. They've chosen to be in action. They've chosen to be in active duty and willing to do whatever God has called them to do.
Well, and you know, I always tell people when something like that comes up is, I know that this person has spent hours in the Word and praying.
Yes.
You know, what have you done to prepare?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I get a lot of times when I get words for people, it's not at that moment. It's normally before. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, it talks about there's a time for everything.
Right.
And you wait for that time to give that word. And when you get a word for the congregation, the time you give that word is when you're in front of the congregation. And so most people, I don't think, realize that either, is that it does take your own effort at home, your own time at home, and your own seeking God on your own time.
Absolutely. Those who seek Him find Him.
Yes.
Right. I know that with myself, I get an inkling. And then as the service goes on, and I'm saying, Lord, what's this all about?
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon He makes it clear. And then it's my decision whether or not I do it.
Yeah, just to tune in and to tune out. I mean, one thing I found in being in the youth ministry is that it's very easy for a lot of the youth to just show up and sit in the back row and just kind of nod and maybe sing the songs that we have and listen to the 15-minute message or whatever that we're doing. But it's one thing to sit there on a one-on-one level and really give an account.
Well, and I think many people don't realize that they're not having to give an account to you.
Yes.
They're giving an account to the Father.
Yes.
You know, that's the important thing, is that He sees. It's not before man that we do what we do. Mm-hmm. It's because of Him. And in the verses that goes on, we just talked about show His faith by work. But in 18 it says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? People don't realize that it's a commitment. It's a commitment. It's a way of life.
Yes.
And we weren't, again, my faith, we weren't told to sit, stay, and squat. He says, go. Go and do.
Yep. Pick up your cross and follow me.
Right. They will know you're my disciples because there's an action there.
Yes.
What do you think about the fact that so many people today believe that we don't have a responsibility to anybody outside of our own congregation?
I think there's a huge problem that happens because of it. I mean, we talked about kinship and how at Mount Sinai, it was a group of people that were one nation, that were one people, that were under one God. And right here it says, you believe that God is one. Well, if God is one, He has one people as well, that we are that one people, that we, despite denomination, despite belief and theology, we need to come together as one and truly follow Him, because we're not called to be Christians or certain denominations. We're called to be disciples.
Right.
We're called to be followers. We're called to be people that come together as one and follow the one God.
Great. That's all the time we have at the moment. We will continue in our next session. Please join us. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.